My first ministry began in Knox in 1974. At the time, Knox was the fastest growing suburb in Australia throughout the 70s. And the Methodist authorities decided that there should be a minister in Scoresby within the city of Knox. And the mission of the congregation would be to build up a new church to meet the needs of a community that was experiencing such rapid growth. I threw myself into the challenge of ministering to the needs of young families facing suburban isolation and soaring interest rates on housing mortgages, the lack of childcare, long travel times to work, and very few community facilities to support those who were experiencing the stresses of suburban life. But I was surprised by the resistance of a small number of earlier suburbanites to my focus on this mission of outreach. I didn't really understand the depth of this group's opposition to the focus of my ministry, because they could see that new people were attending worship and that new members were volunteering to take on tasks of leadership within the congregation. And so my tension with this group's members simmered, and my efforts to reach out to them seemed fruitless. The situation dragged on for about 18 months until one Sunday following my sermon, one of the men stood up and verbally attacked me for not meeting his family's spiritual needs. He and his family then walked out, and two other couples went out with them. Luke's gospel today follows immediately after last Sunday's parable of the Good Samaritan, which reminded us that Jesus' followers are to show mercy to anyone in need. And the mission given to me by the Methodist Church at that time took Jesus' command to heart. Yet, if I was to think that fulfilling the church's mission, meeting people's needs, in my first year at Scoresby, if I was to thought that that was all right, then what was I to make of Jesus' rebuke of Martha's hospitality? According to Luke, a woman named Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. Martha jumps to provide hospitality to Jesus and his disciples. Without being asked, she busies herself to meet the needs of her visitors. And just as quickly, there is tension in the room. Her sister Mary wasn't helping. And so Martha grumbled to Jesus, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself?" I'm with Martha at this point. The church had given me a mission to provide hospitality to the hard-pressed residents of Scoresby, to meet their needs by showing them that the church cared for them. And I was frustrated and I was annoyed that there was this small group who did not support the mission, and in fact, they opposed it. So Jesus' reproach to Martha's hard work seems totally unfair. After the tension between my vision for the church's mission and the expectations of some in the congregation had exploded in my face, I wondered, how could I pick up the pieces? I decided to visit Julie, one of the older members who had not been at worship on the Sunday of the walkout. She invited me in, but I was quickly aware of her anger. Julie berated me for causing a split in the congregation, which was a sore point for me, as I already felt that I had failed in my calling to be a minister to all. So I attempted to explain my efforts to build bridges and to hold the tension creatively, But rather strangely for my stoic personality, I found myself in tears at her kitchen table. Perhaps my pain touched her, and this reserved working class mother reached across the table and took my hand. And as she held my hand, she began to pray for me. Now, I had spent 3 difficult years at theological college preparing for ministry, and no one had ever prayed for me in 3 years of theological education. No one had prayed for me in my struggles with that program. So her prayer for me was a moment of grace. And later, as I left her home, I felt that the burden of my failure to carry out the denomination's church growth mission, that burden had been lifted from my shoulders. And I knew in my heart the message that Jesus had given Martha. I knew that God's grace was the power to make me alive, to make me new. And I knew that my busyness and my urgency about the need to prove my worth to others had in fact closed my heart off to God's grace. This day in Julie's kitchen was the day my vocation in ministry truly began. When the Lord said to Martha, "Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things," he was speaking to how I believe that my mission never seemed good enough. It was never good enough to prove that I was a good and a worthy person. I was distracted by my need to prove myself, to prove my worth to others by the work that I was doing. The one thing I needed was to be like Mary, that is, to have an open heart, a heart that could receive the gift of God's grace. This is what Jesus saw in Mary when she sat at Jesus' feet. Jesus says she had chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her. Once your heart has been touched by God's grace, it is a life-giving experience that you can never forget. Your worth as a human being is clearly a divine gift of God's grace. And as I sat weeping at Julie's kitchen table, I learned that prayer is that one simple act of opening my heart to receive that gift, to know God's love in my heart. And I learned that that was what prayer was all about. It was not something that I earned. It was not something that I deserved, this gift. Yet the memory of it has sustained me in ministry for 48 years. It has sustained me in life for 48 years. The one thing needed, Jesus calls it, the one thing, an open heart to receive the gift of God's unbounded love. The Uniting Church is dying today in large measure because we have forgotten how to pray. We too often believe that the future of the church can be saved by our hard work, by our mission. But our energy for mission is today dissipating in Martha-like distracting busyness. We don't seem to know how to sit quietly at the feet of our Lord in open-hearted prayerfulness. It is pertinent that Luke provides instruction on the importance of prayer by telling a new story after the one we have just heard read today, the Martha-Mary scene. At the beginning of chapter 11, Jesus is seen, reported by Luke, as praying. And after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray." So Luke is teaching Jesus' followers that they need a balance between the needs of serving others, a la the Good Samaritan, and maintaining a prayerful relationship with God, a la Mary. But just as the Mary Martha story contains a warning about not turning service to your neighbours into busy work, so this story also contains a warning about not distorting prayer, that is, not turning prayer into another piece of busyness. So we see Martha. She's totally preoccupied with her need to put on a good show of hospitality. And as her frustration rises, she turns to Jesus. "Do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me. Tell her then to help me." Martha's saying, "I'm doing something good for you here, and I need some help. Tell her to help me." In this request, Martha tells Jesus her problem. "I'm doing something good for you and I need some help." And then she tells Jesus how to fix her problem. "Tell her to help me." The one thing that we miss in Martha's request is allowing God to be God. Martha tells Jesus her problem. She tells Jesus how to fix it. God is not able to be present in that request. When I went to visit Julie, I knew the problem. I thought the problem was her traditional view, old-fashioned way of thinking, and that she just didn't understand the good work that I was doing. But it was my God-given tears that cut my self-belief short. And in that space, the grace of God found an opening in my heart. If there is a balance between serving the neighbour in their need and praying for the coming of the kingdom, Jesus' followers need to learn that prayer that focuses on God and that focuses on his word to us is part of that balance. Prayer is not another act of busyness. Prayer is an act of obedience and openness. I now belong to a congregation that began in 2011 through a Uniting Care agency, Creative Ministries Network, where I was the CEO. But since the agency was made part of the Synod's new agency, Uniting, all of the activities of the agency were taken into Uniting, and the congregation was left outside. And so our congregation has been worshipping in members' homes. We have been meeting for the last 10 years in members' homes. So when COVID-19 lockdown struck, here we are as a congregation with no staff, no property to take up our meeting time. And so we were able to talk together on Zoom about how each of us was experiencing the upheaval of the global pandemic. And we asked what COVID meant to us as individuals and as a nation. And more particularly, we asked prayerfully, where was God in this crisis? Where was God in this crisis? Our members experienced a new growth in trust and compassion for each other and a desire to share our faith journey with others. Marg said, "The discussion and reflection is relevant to our busy and sometimes stressful lives. Another member, Sue, said, "No matter what state of mind I arrive in, I always leave with a sense of peace and hope. I feel renewed in spirit and inspired to take better care of my thought and prayer life afterward." One of our men, Keir, said, "I find this worship truthful. My faith is strengthened and my relationship with God and Jesus simply grows and grows." The opportunity to explore the depth of these relationships seemingly for me couldn't occur in any other setting. And Gary says, "The sharing of our stories helps him feel as though the congregation is journeying together to discover deeper parts of our souls and each other." He said this helps him to become a better Christian, particularly in listening to the other members' stories of pain and joy. Luke's gospel challenges our uniting church to a better balance in our service of neighbours and with our prayer that helps us to learn to open our hearts in faith to where God is leading our lives, where God is present calling us to transform our tired and weary world. Perhaps it is instructive for what the uniting church may be in future that Martha and Mary are confronted and challenged by an encounter with Christ in Martha's home, in her dining room. Just as my ministry was transformed in Julie's kitchen, in Julie's home. Luke's good news is that just as we may serve Christ in meeting the needs of others, so may we take time to ensure that we find space in our lives which allows us to simply sit at Christ's feet, and that we would there learn of his life-giving and forgiving word. We may learn what the grace of God's love means for our lives. Today, may you open your hearts to receive Christ's unconditional love, Christ's abundant goodness for you. May it be so. Amen.